loud, all right? Because I know a lot of you families are out because of sickness and whatnot, so you got to be loud for me, all right? Hey, get your Bible. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. I'm excited about this morning. I'm excited to be able to worship with you guys through song. Also, as we dive into God's Word that we know is active and living. Let me share with you really quickly about this past year, 2019. That's crazy to say that it's already 2020. I'm still 21, right? I wish, okay? But let me just show you how, share with you a little bit about how God worked and moved through our ministry. I was in different church every single weekend, doing a revival, Disciple Now, Sunday morning, Sunday night service, whatnot. We were able to do 4 mission trips this past year. I went to Colombia twice. I also got to go to Costa Rica once, and I went to El Salvador once. Okay, so that was 4 weeks there. That was crazy. God worked and moved in all those mission trips. I don't know exactly all the numbers. I think we got to work with, strengthen around 30 churches throughout the year on those mission trips. We also saw throughout all of the revivals, all the camps. I did 7 camps this past summer. I preached 50-something times just in July, okay? We were able to obviously share the gospel with all these people, and we saw around 3,000-some-odd professions of faith, okay? Again, that's just a number to you and I, all right? Continue to pray for 2020. God's already, filled it up, and that is a blessing. We're going to continue just to live by faith and allow Him to use us to be able to take people to the cross. I'm excited about 2020. I've got 3 trips already planned, possibly another one. My family, my wife, my oldest boy might go this summer, okay? We'll see, all right? That's, just one of those, it'll have to be a God deal, okay? So I hope that works out. I hope that it takes place, but if it doesn't, we know that God's hand's in that as well. So, we'll see what God's going to do. We're excited to see just how we're going to see souls saved, lives changed, and so on and so forth. So I just want to encourage you guys to continue to pray for us. It is a blessing to be here, be able to see familiar faces, be able to worship with you guys. Obviously, I'm not here to talk about myself. So you guys ready to dive in God's Word? All right. Obviously, I still speak fast as I always have, right? Because my wife speaks faster than I do. I know, right? You guys are in trouble. I'm just throwing it out there. With potluck, that means I get to preach as long as I want to preach, right? I'm just throwing it out there. You got to just think about these things, okay? So let's pray real quick, and we'll dive into God's Word. Lord, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for this morning that we have to be able to worship you through song, to be able to dive into your Word that we know is active and living. I pray that I can be your vessel. I want to be your voice. I want to be your mouthpiece. Help me to hide behind the cross and take your family, your church family here, to you. I pray that we can be encouraged. I pray that you will enlighten us and that we leave this place changed because we get face-to-face with you. It's all about you. It's all because of you. We give you all the glory and praise. We love you so much. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, Matthew chapter 8, verse 1. If you're there, say, I'm there. All right, so you got it going on. So we're going to look at a very familiar story that we've all read before, okay? We've all talked about. And we're going to look at the story of the leper, okay? And we're going to break that down. I pray and hope that God speaks to your heart in a special way, okay? We're going to talk about baggage. Everybody say baggage. The fact is, church, we all have baggage, don't we? Okay, we can connect with that. We can see this. And so let's kind of read it real quick, and we'll dive into it, okay? Matthew chapter 8, verse 1, it says this. It says, when he came down from the mountainside, talking about Jesus, it says, large crowds followed him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Verse 3, Jesus reached out his hand, touched the man. I am willing, he said, be clean. Immediately says he was cured of his leprosy. Check it out, church. Give me your eyes. Watch this. All right? I love what's going on here. Here's this man with leprosy. And here's what God's laid on my heart. Here's how you and I can connect with this. This man's got baggage. Maybe you and I might not be walking around with a skin disease. We might not be having leprosy we're having to deal with. But the fact is, we can connect with this young man that, you know what? Because of that baggage in his life, it affected him. Right? And so, in 2020, you and I, we can sit here and we can say, you know what, we got some things going on in our life. Let's get real. Check it out. All right? We're going to get transparent up in here, okay? How about just busyness? Come on now. Anybody can say, man, my baggage right now is busyness, and I'm so busy in all this stuff. Let me give you some stats out here, okay? They say most Americans today spend about 540 hours driving in their vehicle in 1 year, okay? All right, I probably do more than that, right? They say most Americans spend in their lifetime 25 years sleeping, right? They say most Americans are going to spend about 6 weeks of their life tying their shoe in a lifetime. Right? They say you and I, you're like this gentleman, watch this. They say young ladies in here will spend about a year of their life getting dressed in a lifetime. Okay? All right, just throwing out there, that's what they say, right? The list goes on and on and on, right? They say most Americans spend 58 minutes a day on Facebook. They say most Americans spend about 90 minutes a day on their cell phone. That comes out to be 3.9 years of your life. Okay? All right, someone's getting beat. I don't know. Okay? All right, that's cool, okay? All right? But I throw all that to you because of this, church. They say most Christians spend 90 minutes a week with God. That comes out to be about 173 days in a lifetime. We have so much things that you and I get busy with, so many things that we're distracted by, and not that those things are bad, but you and I got to realize and understand a lot of times because of our busyness, because of our distraction, a lot of times it brings baggage in our life. Are you with me, church? Now, let me just point this out to you as we're showing you this illustration, okay? Think about what you and I should look like, how you and I should offer our life. We know the story in Nehemiah after they got done rebuilding the wall. They had a worship service that lasted 6 hours, right? And in that worship service, they did five things. It says that they all stood up. They showed commitment to God's word. They all had their hands raised. They expected to receive a blessing. They all had their heads bowed. They humbled themselves before God's word. And we know and understand that they also began to weep, and they were responded by saying amen and amen. I say all of that to say, guys, that's what our life should be like. I surrender all. Right, church? All right, check this out. If you listen, say I am. So here is baggage. How about this? Maybe it's not busyness for you. Maybe it's just relationships. Uh-oh. Right? Whether it's with a spouse, or maybe it's with a brother or sister, an uncle, aunt, a son or daughter, a neighbor, a friend, an enemy, a coworker. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. We have a lot of relationships we have to deal with, right? And a lot of times those relationships, maybe they're a great thing. Sometimes maybe it's like, man, it's weighing me down, right? Sometimes we look at that as maybe that could be baggage in our life. How about this, church? Maybe it's not relationships. Maybe it's not busyness. Maybe it's just like you feel like pressure. You feel like you have the pressure that you always have to fit in. Right? Or that pressure you feel like, man, I've always got to be perfect. Or that pressure that, man, you got to do this and you got to do that. And you just feel like you have all this pressure around you to be the best mom you can be, the best wife you can be, the best husband you can be, the best dad you can be, the best coworker you can be, and so on and so forth. And so we have that pressure. Everybody say pressure. All right? We have that pressure in our life. And because of that pressure, a lot of times, it becomes baggage in our life. Are you with me, church? Watch. How about this? Maybe it's not that pressure of life. Maybe it's just finances, right? And you're having to deal with having to pay for this and having to pay for that. And you just, man, how are we going to get by here? What are we going to do here? And the choices we have to make with all of that, right? How about just choices in general, right? We got to understand the choices we make today don't just affect us. They affect the people around us. Come on, church. And they don't just affect us today. They affect our tomorrow, right? And so we can see throughout Scripture many times people made the wrong choice. And think about Jonah. He made a choice to go the other direction, turn his back on God, and because of that, a storm came in his life. You and I, we make a lot of choices. Sometimes they're good, sometimes they're bad. And the fact is, a lot of the choices we make, even if it's sin, right, church, watch this, it becomes baggage in our life. And I did that very simply, very basic, but the fact is, church, you and I, a lot of us, if we're getting real, if we're getting transparent this morning in 2020 on Super Bowl Sunday, the fact is, a lot of us, this is how we live our life. That's hogwash. You and I are walking around saying, man, I love Jesus, I want to surrender, but we do it with only one hand because we got to hold it with the other hand, right? Or we still got to balance all this baggage, and I don't want you to know about it, so you know what? I'm going to just act like everything's good. You ever been there, church? Right? Oh, man, my relationship with my spouse, it's perfect. Oh, man, I'm making great choices. Man, everything at work is great. Has anyone ever asked you the question, how's things going? And you could have the worst week in your life, and we always answer what? Oh, man, I'm good. Right? That's what we do. Because we don't want people to think, oh, man, that person needs help. Guys, I'm here to tell you, I've got baggage in my life. We all got baggage in our life. And the fact is, it's time to recognize that. And you know what you and I do with this? You and I, we look at this, and here's what Satan wants you and I to do. Give me your eyes. If you listen, say, I am. He wants you and I to look at our baggage and say, man, because of that baggage, you're not worthy. He wants you to look at this baggage and say, man, get distracted by this. Focus on this rather than this. He wants you and I to look at this baggage and say, man, there's just no way I can overcome this. And I'm telling you, church, God wants you and I to look at this baggage and see an opportunity. Come on now. He wants you and I to look at this baggage and say, you know what? Yes, you've been through a lot. Yes, you've been struggling with your health. Yes, you've been struggling with choices. Yes, you've been struggling with relationships. Yes, you've been busy and all of this stuff. But he wants you and I to recognize this stuff so you and I can give it to him, because God is bigger than any baggage in our life. Come on now. He is stronger than any kind of baggage in our life. Right? And you and I need to recognize that. And you and I cannot carry this on our own. You and I cannot worship him the way that he deserves to be worshiped if you and I continue to hold on to this baggage and acting like everything is okay and acting like we got it all together. It's time for you and I to let go and let God. Come on now. Because the fact is, he wants you and I to totally surrender to him. Even if it means we need to humble ourselves. Come on now. It's not about pride. We got to humble ourselves and recognize the things in our life that we're short at and we're messing up, and the struggles that we have. Give it to him and then use that stuff to be able to minister and love on the ones around us. Sometimes we don't understand why we have the hand that's dealt to us, right? We don't understand why we got some of this baggage in our life. But we got to understand that God can use this next year or the next year to be able to connect with somebody else, and we can say, I know where you're at. I know what you're going through. I want to share with you how I made it through that time. And you can as well. If you listen, say, I am. Everybody say, baggage. So here is this man with leprosy. He runs to Jesus. He doesn't run to Dr. Phil and Oprah, church. All right? He runs to Jesus and it says, Lord, if you're willing, I know that you can make me clean. This man had faith. Right? That's amazing to me. I want you to see three things really quickly that Jesus does with this man who has this baggage in his life. And I don't know where you're at this morning. I don't know what kind of baggage you have. I don't know what you've been holding on to. But I want you to recognize these three things that Jesus did with this man with leprosy can also do it with you as well. Okay? And me as well. Okay? So let's look at what happens here. Okay? Again, Matthew chapter 8. Look with me there at verse 3. Three things we're going to see. It says, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. Guys, I love that. See, you and I, we know the story. We've read the story. We got the story memorized. And we read this and kind of just look past that. Think about how big of a deal that was. This man with leprosy, because of his leprosy, he's been taught a lot of things in his life. It talks about it in Leviticus. And it breaks down how he had to live his life. It says because of his skin disease, because of his baggage, he would have to do this. He had to have his clothes torn and ripped. He would have to have his hair unkept. He would have to live all by himself outside the camp. His whole life has never been touched. Think about that, church. Rejection, rejection, rejection. You're not good enough. You're not good enough. You're not good enough. You are not worthy enough. I don't even want to talk to you. I don't want to touch you. I don't even want to see you. That's what this man has dealt with his whole life because of his baggage. Are you with me, church? When he's walking down the street, we know what Scripture says, when he sees someone walking toward him, he would have to yell out, leper, leper, or unclean, unclean. So that person would know, go a different direction. You don't want to deal with that man. He's got some things in his life that you don't want to have to mess with. Now think about that, guys. His whole life, that's how he's lived his life. Now think about this. He runs to Jesus with faith and says, Lord, if you're willing, I know you can make me clean. Now if I'm Jesus, now let's just get transparent. If I am Jesus and I'm able to do all of these miracles and I'm able to heal all of these people, right? And I can even speak it and I can say, be clean, and that man's clean, right? Before I touch the man, what I would do is I would heal the man. Right? That's what I would have done. That just makes sense. I would have healed him, and then I would put my arms around him and say, man, I love you. But that's not what Jesus does. Before Jesus healed the man, what did he do, church? He touched him. He's letting that man know, even though you got baggage in your life, church, watch this, I know and I recognize your baggage. I know what you're dealing with. I know that you feel rejected, rejected, rejected. I know you don't feel loved. I know you don't feel hope. I know you think there's no direction for you to go. But I want you to know I love you. I want you to know I care about you. I want you to know that I have a plan for your life. I want you to know that I accept you. Everybody say, that's right. Isn't that neat? And guys, again, I don't know where you're at. You and I want to be like this, but the fact is, you and I have some things in our life that maybe they're weighing you down. Maybe it's hindering your relationship with your spouse. Maybe it's hindering your relationship with your relationship with Jesus. Maybe it is hindering your choice making. Whatever it is, I want you to know that you and I can run to Jesus with a sense of faith, and He's going to put His arms around us to say, I love you. I care about you. I see what you're going through. I see the choices you have. I see the situations you got. I see the baggage you got, but I'm bigger than any of that baggage. I accept you. Watch this. After He touches the man, what does Scripture say that we just read? It says that Jesus looks at him and says what, church? I am willing. Can you imagine what's going through the man's mind? I'm sure he's thinking, man, I've heard about this man named Jesus, how he heals all these people, does all these amazing miracles. I know he's coming my direction. I've never been talked to, never been touched, never been loved. I've always been rejected. He's probably not even going to listen to me. But I'm going to try. I'm going to yell out to him. And in his mind, in his heart, he's probably thinking, man, there's nothing this man's going to do for me. Right? But yet, when he yells out to him, not only does Jesus touch him, but now Jesus looks at him and says, I am willing. It's probably when he passes out. Right? That's what I would have done. Right? Ah, never going to wash my face again. Okay? I don't know. Okay? But no, the fact is, he says, I am willing. I want to throw this out there to you, church. Watch this. Turn with me to Psalm 18. Keep your finger here in Matthew chapter 8. We're going to go to Psalm 18. I want to give you a few things that Jesus is willing to be in your life. Okay? Psalm chapter 18. You're going to go to the middle of your Bible there. I love to hear pages turning. It's on page 464. I don't know. It isn't my Bible, all right? I want to give you seven things I want you guys to go study for tonight and pop quiz when I come back next year, right? Okay? See if you guys remember this. But the fact is, yes, we've got baggage. Yes, we got things we're dealing with. And we don't have to do it on our own. That's what I'm trying to point out to you, church. But watch what it says in Psalm chapter 18. It says in verse 1, I love you, O Lord, my strength. I'm going to show you seven things. Check this out. The Lord is my rock. Everybody say rock. Isn't that cool, church? Yes, we've got baggage. Yes, we have struggles. Yes, we have trials. Yes, we're dealing with a lot of things. But you and I can turn to the rock. And why is He called the rock? Because God wants to be our stability. Isn't that all we want? We want to have that job so we can be stable, right? We want to have that house so we can be stable. We want to have that relationship so we can be stable. The fact is, all of that stuff, in world terms, can't truly bring us stability because you never know what's going to happen, right? But the fact is, guys, we serve an almighty God who is our rock. And even though we got baggage, even though we got struggles, even though we got difficult times, and we wonder, man, what's going to happen now, we can always turn to the rock and not the wrestler, right? Okay? All right, check out what it says next. He goes on to say this. It says, not only is our rock, but he says there in verse 2, my fortress. In other words, church, he wants to be our safety. Right? Continue to go on. Look what he says, the third thing. He's my deliverer. Everybody say deliverer. In other words, church, he wants to be our salvation. He goes on to say, my God is my rock in whom I take refuge. The reason why he wants to be our refuge, what you and I can take away from that, is he wants to be our protection. Right? So my oldest boy played football this past year in sixth grade, right? Played quarterback, played middle linebacker, a good little athlete, right? And, of course, the very first game of the season, my wife is like just going crazy, doesn't want the kid to get hurt, right? And she's like, oh, don't tackle him, don't tackle him, don't tackle him, right? I mean, that's just what's going through her mind, okay? Did really well. He scored a lot of touchdowns. Their team was 4-0, doing really good. And, you know, he puts on the helmet, puts on the shoulder pads, all that stuff for protection, right? And I'm always telling my wife, dude, he's going to be okay. I mean, it's not going to happen. Nothing's going to happen, right? He's got the ball. He rolls out, makes a great move, falls on the ground, doesn't even really get tackled, but the way he spins, the way he lands on the ground, he breaks his collarbone, right? And my wife looks at me and says, I told you so, right? And that's the way she is, right? And I'm like, dude, it was just a fluke accident, right? And so for the past 10 weeks, I've not been able to live it down, right? It's like, man, you hurt our child. It was your fault, right? No. But, you know, you put all those shoulder pads on because we want protection. Well, those things really can't, yeah, they bring some protection. But the fact is, the greatest protection is Jesus Christ, right? Continue to go on. Check this out, church. So he says he's our rock. Why? Because of stability. He is our fortress. Why? Because of safety. He is our deliverer. Why? Because of salvation. He's our refuge. Why, church? Because of protection. It goes on to say still there in Psalm 18. He says, he is my shield. Everybody say shield. Because he wants to be our defense. Watch this. He goes on to say that he is the horn of my salvation. Why? Because he wants to be our strength. Guys, we can't carry it on our own. He wants to be our strength. He is the horn of our salvation. He goes on to say that he's willing to be our stronghold. Why is he our stronghold? Because he wants to be our security. Come on now, baby. Woohoo, baby. All right? That's what God's word says. That he wants to be those seven things in our life. He says, I am willing to be your rock. I am willing to be your fortress. I am willing to be your shield. I'm willing to be your refuge. I'm willing to be your deliverer. I'm willing to be your horn. I am willing to be your stronghold. Allow God to be those things in your life. See, you and I, we think we have it all together. You and I want to be those happy plastic people carrying around this baggage and wanting people to think we have it all together and we're not going to tell anybody. When you and I can run to him with a sense of urgency saying, God, take my baggage. Take my baggage. Be my strength. Be my salvation. Be my deliverer. Right? I mean, I can go on and give you all, you know, over 700 names in God's word, titles in God's word, or reveals who he is and his character and what he wants to be in our life. He says, you know what? I'm willing to be the bread of your life. Come on now. I'm willing to be the light of the world. Are you with me, church? I'm willing to be the way, the truth, and the life and bring us certainty. I'm willing to be the sacrificial lamb. I'm willing to be the lion of the tribe of Judah. Right? Not only is he the lion, but he's also, the lamb. That, praise God. Right? Two ends of the spectrum. And so he says, I recognize your baggage. Everybody say baggage. But he says, I'm willing. Are you with me, church? Isn't that cool? That's what he says to you and I in 2020. And so I don't know where you're at. I don't know your struggles. I don't know your relationships. I don't know your choices. I don't know what's been going on in your life. But I want you to know you can turn to the Almighty God who says, I want to be your true vine. I want to be the source of your strength. Right? Okay? And so always remember that. Okay? And so here is this man with leprosy, with baggage in his life. He runs to Jesus with a sense of faith, goes there, and says, Lord, if you're willing, I know you can make me clean. Watch this, church. It's all getting to the point of the message. Check this out. So we get there, and we see that Jesus accepts him by touching him. We see that Jesus reassures him, and he says, I am willing. The last thing he tells him is what, church? He looks at him and says, be clean. That is cool to me. We serve a mighty powerful God. Why do we question him? The God that you and I serve is a very intentional God, is he not? He doesn't wake up and be like, oh, I didn't know that was going to happen today. You and I, we wing it. Right? We just kind of, it just happens, right? We don't know what's taking place. But God is a very intentional God. And the fact is, you and I serve a mighty, powerful God who loves us, cares about us, has a plan for our life, and he wants you and I to worship him the way that he deserves to be worshipped, even when we have some things in our life that are weighing us down. It's what we do with this stuff. We need to give it to him, right? And so if we do that, church, and we go to him with a sense of faith, you know what's going to happen? He's going to take that from us, right? And he's going to be able to heal us, right? And here's what happens. So this man comes to Jesus. He says, be clean. Everybody say, be clean. And it says immediately, not the next week, not the next month, not the next year. It says immediately the leprosy was cured. And so here's what God laid on my heart, right? His life has now changed. His whole life, you're not good enough, you're not good enough, you're not good enough. You're rejected, you're rejected, you're rejected. Live by yourself and don't even talk to me. And now, his whole perspective has changed. His whole life has changed in that one instance that he got face to face with Jesus. So it got me thinking, right? you and I, many of you in this room, have a relationship with Jesus, right? Many of you have probably been a Christian longer than I've been alive, okay? And that is a Jesus deal. I want to show you an illustration really quickly, and then I want to draw a picture for you guys. I've got four chairs here. And these four chairs represent four different kinds of people, okay? And so everyone in this room is going to be in one of these chairs, all right? And so we're going to see where you guys are at and what we need to do about it, right? And so if you haven't caught anything this morning, catch this, okay? So this first chair right here, what I call is the seeker. Everybody say seeker. The truth is, church, everyone in our world today, whether or not they go to church or not, everybody is a seeker, right? They're seeking acceptance. They seek love. They're seeking after truth. They're seeking after a lot of things in this world. And the way I make this definition with this person, this is somebody who does not have a relationship with Jesus. They're seeking after all of this stuff. They have that hole in their life. They have that hole in their heart. And the fact is, they are seeking after something that will fill that void in their life, but yet they're looking in all the wrong places. Everyone at some point in their life has been in this chair, and you're seeking after something, wasting a lot of time, right? Now let's get real. This chair right here, what I call is the follower. There's a huge difference between this person and this person, and that difference is Jesus. Right, church? That difference is, watch this, to get from this chair to this chair, it doesn't take money, it doesn't take fame, it doesn't take ability, it doesn't take a great, powerful prayer. What it takes is putting your faith in Him and Him alone. Right, church? Saying, you know what? I realize I have sin in my life and I need Jesus. And once you make that decision in your life, you are now a child of God. And watch this, guys. Much like this man with leprosy, had baggage, he runs to Jesus and now he's been cleaned. Everybody say, that's right. This man right here is a man who is lost, seeking after truth, seeking after acceptance, just trying to figure out what they need to do to get right. They recognize the fact that they need Jesus. They say yes to Jesus, and now their life has been changed. Woohoo, baby! Right? Now their destination is going from this person's going to hell, this person is now prepared for eternity to go to heaven. Right? We all agree with that, right? Now, let me step on your toes a little bit. Y'all ready? A lot of Christians move to that second chair, and they become a Christian. They become a believer. They become a child of God. They are now a prince and a princess of the King. But it scares me, church, that we have a lot of Christians that stay in this chair. We become a casual, comfortable, camouflage Christian. We become the frozen chosen. We become a secret saint. We get in our little holy huddle. Can you keep going? And we stay here, man. We're content with what we got. And, man, we know we're going to heaven. We have a relationship with Jesus. Man, you want me to come to church? I'm going to go to church. You want me to pray? I'll pray when I need to pray. You want me to go to Sunday school? Man, I'm going to go to Sunday school. And do all of those great and amazing things. But we stay in that little bubble. And we don't recognize that there's two more chairs. See, guys, here, watch this. This chair is called the Fisher. See, watch. Move from this chair to this chair, it takes what, church? Faith. To move this chair to this chair, what does it take, church? Faith. Check it out. It's called the Fisher because you and I are called to go and make what? We are called to go and be a fisherman and be able to share the gospel, are we not? The gospel changed our life, is that true? Right? And the fact that He died on the cross for us, He changed my life, He changed your life, right? And because of that, man, we have just this life to give back to Him, right? And think about Paul. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, he says his first importance in his life, it says it is to pass on the gospel. And what is that gospel? He gives it again to give a description of saying that Jesus died on the cross for us, that He was buried, and on the third day He rose again. And because of that, it had an effect on me, and it can have an effect on them, right? And he talks about, again, in that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Watch this, church. You and I are called to share the gospel. And let's get transparent. We have a lot of Christians, probably even in this room, that have been a Christian for 20, 30, 40, 50 years, and yet we've never shared our faith. Blows my mind. the very thing that changed your life. See, here's the thing, church. You and I, when we get to this chair, here's what our heart's going to be like. We are going to look at that person in the first chair, and our heart's going to break. Because we recognize, I've been there before. We recognize, I've had that baggage called sin in my life. And you know what? Because I moved from this chair to this chair, and I'm now a believer, He's now changed my life, I've been able to give Him that baggage. Everybody say, that's right. We recognize where that person's at. Well, what we're going to do is we're going to say, man, my Lord and Savior loves that person. He cares about that person. He died on the cross for that person. So I, as a fisher, I'm going to do everything I can to love on that person. Come on now. I'm going to do everything I can to pray for that person. I'm going to do everything I can when I have an opportunity. I'm going to sit down and invest in that person's life and share the gospel to that very person. Because I know that's the very thing that can change their life, of saying, I have no hope, I've been rejected, and no one loves me, no one cares about me. So what are you talking about? The gospel. Who's Jesus? And they say yes to Jesus because you were willing to spend time in their life, and now their perspective has changed. Are you with me? Watch this. So the fisher, everybody say fisher. I want to encourage you, if there's people in your life that you know that need to hear the gospel, go above and beyond to share the gospel with them. I know you guys look at me and say, man, Corey, you're a minister, you're an evangelist, and you know it's easy for you, or this, that, and the other. Guys, it's not just my job, right? You guys are called as well to the ministry, right? It might not be the same kind of ministry that I have, but the fact is, you are called to the ministry to be a vessel, to be a mouthpiece, to be His hands, to be His feet, to be His voice, and to be able to love on that person, take them to Jesus. We've got one more chair. We have what I call the discipler, all right? So again, we have the seeker, we have the follower, we have the fisher, and we have the discipler. Guys, let's get real. You and I are not just called to share the gospel. You and I are called to make disciples. Uh-oh. Right? We're called to make disciples. That's what Scripture tells us. By the way, do you believe in the Bible? Okay, three of you do. Good. Okay, good. All right? Okay? Well, you and I, we believe in it from Genesis to Revelation, don't we? Right? Every page of it, right? Only part of the Bible you and I believe is the part that we live. So in the book of Matthew, where it tells you and I to go into the nations, and we are called to make what, church? Disciples. See, Jesus went and He took 12 disciples. Many people would say even just 11 disciples. And those disciples went and made more disciples, right? You and I, who's called to make more disciples? It's you and I. Who's it up to whether or not we're going to have more disciples? It's you and I. And it blows my mind, church, that we have people who are Christians, who have been a Christian for a long time, but yet they've never discipled anybody. And guys, I'm going to get transparent with you. I'm easy at this chair. That's what God's calling me to do. And I love what God's calling me to do. I love the fact that I get to stand up in front of thousands of students and thousands of people each and every single year, being able to share the gospel and just take them to the cross. And I don't claim to be Billy Graham. I don't claim to be the best artist in the world. But I want to make myself available to be able to be used, to be able to share the gospel so those people that are in this chair can understand that, you know what, there is hope, and it's called Jesus Christ. And they got that baggage in their life, and I want them to be able to run with a sense of faith to Jesus and say, here, I want to live for you, and I want to give you everything, right? And I love being able to see people and see their life change to becoming no longer just a creation of God, but now a child of God. But I'm going to be transparent with you. This chair is hard for me. And maybe that's where you're at, right? See, here's the difference. This person in this chair should be looking at the person in the second chair who's recognizing, man, they just made that decision. Man, they have a relationship with Jesus. Now they are a child of God, and God's got a calling on their life. This person should be looking at that person saying, what can I do to invest in that person's life? How do I need to pray for them? How do I need to walk beside them? How do we need to get in the Word together? How do we need to be able to strengthen that person's walk in Christ? Why? Check it out. So they can recognize the fact that don't be that casual, comfortable Christian. They need to move to the third chair. Hello. They need to move to the fourth chair. It's called multiplication. Yet we have a lot of churches filled today of people who are comfortable with just being in this chair. And we're happy and content with it. And I'm telling you, that's not what God wants from us. He wants to see a revival take place. How is revival going to take place? You and I understanding that we got to look at ourselves and examine our life. And if we're not in this chair, we need to get to that chair. And if we're not in this chair, we need to get to this chair and do whatever we got to do to get out of our comfort zone. And I know a lot of you guys know me. I'm a very shy, quiet person. I really am. That's my personality, right? Okay, and that's just the way that I am. And I've learned for God to use me, I had to get out of my comfort zone. You got to get out of your comfort zone this year in 2020 to share the gospel and to make disciples. Everybody say, that's right. Can I draw a picture for you guys? I guess I don't have to. It's like nobody said anything. All right, okay. Let's draw a picture for you guys. As we draw this picture, I want you to remember this story. And I pray and hope that there'll be something that you think about this week. And we see this young man once again who's got leprosy, who has baggage. He runs to Jesus. You and I, this morning, my prayers, if we got some baggage in our life, let's run to Jesus, right? And the fact is, Jesus is going to look at us. He's going to accept us. But he's not going to want us to stay where we're at. He wants us to change. He wants us to grow. You and I need to recognize the fact that he's going to say, I'm willing to be all of those things we discussed this morning. Right? And last but not least, I want you to look and say, what chair are you in this morning? Are you in that first chair? My prayer is you understand that you don't got to change to come to him. You got to come to him to be changed. Just the way that you are. And you can do that this morning. You say, man, Corey, I'm in that second chair. My prayer is I draw this picture. You could say, man, what do I need to do in my life to get to that third chair or even to that fourth chair? All right? Let's pray real quick. Father God, I come before you right now, and I want to thank you for this morning. I want to thank you for this church body. And it's all about, you know, we just thank you for the fact that we're able to dive into your word. Thank you for this message. I pray and hope that it spoke to the hearts of your people. I pray and hope that it encouraged them. Right now, as I draw this picture, the next 7 to 10 minutes. I pray that you just allow this to be a time of worship. Thank you for being that God that is willing. Thank you for being that God that listens. Thank you for being that God who heals. Thank you for being that God who changes lives. Thank you for being a God who accepts us the way that we are and cares about us, even though we have baggage in our life. Lord, we love you so much. In Jesus' name I pray. Church, I'll tell you, this is the first time I've drawn this picture, so we'll see how it rolls. Thank you. think about what He's offered us. He's offered us life. He's offered us forgiveness. He's offered us a way. He's offered us protection, strength, wisdom, understanding. He loves us. And He cares about us. See, this hand right here represents God. It's perfect and holy. This hand right here represents you and I. Church, we are created in His image. Because He desires to have a right relationship with us. But we all know that we have a thing called sin in our life. God still loves us, but He doesn't like our sin because it weighs us down, because it separates us from Him. Are you with me, church? And so God sent His one and only Son, Jesus, to come and live a perfect life, ultimately dying up on that cross for you and I, paying for our sins. They took His body, stuck in the tomb, and on the third day He rose again. And when He did that, church, watch this, the very thing I just drew, He offered you and I a way to be forgiven our sins, to be a brand new person, a brand new creation, to be able to have a relationship with Him, to be in His hands, for our life to be changed, to move from the chair of being just a seeker to now being a follower of Christ and having a plan for our life to be a fisherman, to be a discipler, to be able to be a person who's going to make an impact for His kingdom for an eternity. And when you and I make that decision to say yes to Jesus, there's nothing that you can do or I can do to be taken out of His hands. And so this morning, as we have an opportunity to reflect on what we talked about this morning, we looked into God's Word that is active and living. And this altar is open for you and I. And as I've told you before, church, this altar is called an altar because we're called to alter our life to what we just heard and read as we dove into God's Word. And so as we look at ourselves and we see these four chairs, let me ask you, church, where are you at? And where do you want to be? Or better yet, let me ask it this way. Where are you at and where does God want you to be? If you're in that first chair, He wants you to run to Him just the way that you are and say yes to Him. And my prayer is that you'll do so. I know Brother Brian's not here, but I'm sure one of the deacons or someone can stand up here and you can run to them and say, I need Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And they're not going to do anything spooky with you. They're not going to do anything weird with you. They'll begin to pray with you, be able to answer questions that you might have. And it'll be an awesome time. It'll totally change your life. Again, I assume a lot of you are in that second chair. My prayer is, what do you got to do to get to that third chair and fourth chair? Father God, I come before You right now and I want to thank You for who You are. I want to thank You for this morning. I want to thank You for just the opportunity we had to worship You through song, through Your message, and through drawing. I pray right now as we have a time of invitation, an opportunity to respond to You and only You. I pray that we will get real, that we will get right, so revival can take place in ourselves, so revival can take place in our church, so revival can take place in our nation. Lord, it's all about You and it's all because of You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Church, we're going to stand. We are going to sing and have a time for you to